The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show debuts across nation to Boffo Reviews. Read all about it.
No, sorry. I was just imagining what it would be like if people liked Eric.
I can dream, can't I?
Well, here he is. Yesterday's news, Eric Metaxas.
You know, that was particularly mean-spirited, Todd. Thank you very much. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friend. This is our second hour together, Marcus Spieker, who is the bureau chief with German's equivalent of BBC One. It's ARD. He's the bureau chief in Southeast Asia, and he's with me in New York now. Marcus, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We could go anywhere. That's always the problem when I have good friends on. There's so much to talk about. I want to talk about Europe, what's going on, what you see happening in Europe, and I want to talk about your own faith journey. Let's start with your faith journey, mm-hmm. because that's important.
Yes. So what shall I tell you?
Your faith journey. What's
My
the story?
My faith journey is growing up in an evangelical household.
In which part of Germany?
In West Germany. Even though it was a state church, and state churches tend to be liberal, my dad and my mom had been converted and really fiery and passionate believers. So that's what I was raised in. Very, I wouldn't say conservative, but we didn't have a TV at home. They thought we should be reading, and we were kind of very sheltered and protected from secular music, all that kind of stuff. But I had this longing to go into movies. So when I had the opportunity to go to Hollywood as an exchange student to USC Film School, I jumped at the opportunity. And my parents were kind of afraid that I might lose my faith, you know, in this secular environment. But then something funny happened. I was staying with my relatives.
You have relatives in California.
In California. Yeah. And they took me to their church, which was the first time I'd been to a church with more than 1,000 people showing up on a Sunday morning. In Germany, it's more like 50 or up to 100. And I was so impressed. So all this film talk didn't do much to me because I just hung out with these amazing Christians during the week. And instead of becoming lukewarm, I returned from Germany even more zealous for Jesus.
Wow. And what did you want to do growing up? I mean, you said you wanted to go into film. At what point did you decide to go into journalism?
Well, film, that started when my parents took me to my first movie, which was Ben-Hur. I was 7 years old.
Usually. We pronounce it
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur,
yes.
Her.
Like, and, you know, I
if
was,
you say Ben-Hur, people will think that you're you're a, you know, a Bronx mafia
and
guy.
Then I ended up in journalism by because I didn't make it in films. So I wrote a couple of screenplays, and maybe I was just not good at networking or just not good enough a writer. I wanted to become a screenwriter. So and then I thought, okay, what's the next possibility? And then I ended up in journalism, and that kind of worked out.
Yeah, it did kind of work out. Because now, when did you start working how do you pronounce it? ARD, how do
yes,
you say it?
Yeah, ARD in German.
ARD.
I started when I was 29, already kind of old. I had written a PhD on Hollywood cinema in Nazi Germany. So
Now, where did you get your PhD?
Film history. That was in Germany, but the research I'd done in L.A. So after screenwriting, that was before starting journalism, I wanted to become a film historian. But then I found out just school is too stuffy for me. And then the next step was I was already 29, becoming a reporter. And
but you had your PhD, so you're Dr. Marcus Spieker. I rarely call you doctor, but you are Dr. Marcus Spieker. So all right, so you leap into the world of journalism, and you've been there for quite a while now, and you've worked your way up till many people in Germany know you because you've been on their TV sets.
Well, there is, I think, 20 or 30 studio chiefs in the world, and you have journalists who are much more famous than I am. And like on the side, I'm more prominent or well-known in the Christian community because there I'm a rarity because you don't have, you know, I think I'm the only guy doing what I do as a as an outspoken Christian. So the last 20 years, I've always been busy because I married late in my life to do a lot of like Christian events and writing Christian books. So this has been my second life.
How many books have you written now?
10.
10 books and none of them translated into English?
No, because it's very German, the things I'm addressing. And
in every one of those books?
No, no, it would be easier with Google Translate or something to get a translation. So most of the books, I wrote one, still being a single guy, on faithfulness, sexual fidelity and this kind of stuff. And I think there's so many books on that already in English that they don't need it. I wrote one book.
But there's not that many good ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so but and we were talking in the last hour that your next big book, it's a really big book, which should be translated into English. I mean, it should come out in English, is a biography of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a strange way to put it. I mean, what do you say? He was born in a manger. He went to Nazareth Grammar School. I mean, what do you mean? It's really more of intellectual history of the time of Jesus.
I haven't started writing it yet. I have done the research, and of course, there have been thousands of books about Jesus. For me, the new discovery was just how exciting the times were in which Jesus lived, and historians know about it. There's a lot of books about the times of Jesus, but I don't see many books that have the connection, like Ovid, the German poet, the Roman poet. When Jesus was born, he came out with that book on the art of love.
So, okay, which so is like
Ovid
wrote a book on the art of love around the time that Jesus was born.
Around the time. And of course, it's the opposite of the love that Jesus was preaching because it's all about flirting and seducing and a very egotistical love. Then you had Seneca, the Stoic, who was also a murderer, helping Nero to kill off his wife and his brother and his mother.
Most people don't know this. So say this again. Seneca, who's known as a writer.
He's a writer. He's the number one Stoic, but he was also one of the richest people at his life because of his connection to Nero. And he was the mentor of Nero and also like his chancellor. And he was born the same year that Jesus was born.
Seneca.
So it was like 4 BC kind of. And, you know, for me also, Augustus, who was the most powerful man who ever lived probably. But who was also a trickster and a very dubious kind of guy.
You know something? This is already making me think. I knew you were going to do this, but you just said to me that Augustus Caesar's maybe the most powerful human being who ever lived on the planet. And Jesus was born during his reign. That mm-hmm. strikes me as particularly ironic and interesting.
I think one thing that Christians miss is that this whole Jesus event, I'm going to call it, was staged by the Almighty God in a way. It was like pre-planned. It's so perfect. It was just happened at the intersection of Africa, Europe, and Asia, just at the center of the world. It happened at the center of time, kind of, between now and when the first big civilization started. And it happened at a time where globalization started for the first time, where you had the infrastructure also to spread the gospel, where books came out, which was a cheaper alternative to the ways of writing before. And I think, so there are so many things where you see it was all designed. So not only the world was designed by God, but also world history was designed by God. And that you see in the person of Jesus.
Well, when this is, again, why we're such good friends. When you say things like that, world history was designed by God. In other words, history, the history of humanity, is like an epic poem that God wrote with not thousands of words, but billions of words and millions of people and events and moments. I mean, it's something so spectacular and grand. And to think that God, who created the universe, is also the author of this. These things didn't just happen randomly, that somehow he's involved in this narrative story.
Yeah, he definitely is. Not in the way that some Eastern philosophers and religious leaders would say, like where God is also responsible for all the evil stuff that happened. Of course, he was not, but everything was under his control.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to come back, folks, talking to Marcus Spieker. It's S-P-I-E-K-E-R. But what does it matter? He doesn't have a website. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We do. It's MetaxasTalk.com.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of conservatives winning the war on issues like gun rights, religious liberty, immigration law, and the sanctity of life. We use our cell phones every single day, so why not use them to make a change? Patriot Mobile does just that. They exist to donate a portion of your monthly bill to 17 conservative organizations fighting for your beliefs. And for the entire month of November, you can buy one line and get another line free for 12 months. Every day, people are switching their cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, and they love knowing their cell phone company supports conservative causes they believe in. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, get the same super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. With unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Come join the family.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Albin, wake up. Wake up, Albin.
Oh, boy.
You know, I told you, my pillow, it's so successful at getting people to sleep that even by bringing it into the studio, you fell asleep. Telling you, get it out of the studio.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a place to sleep. If you want to sleep, sleep at home. Folks, this is what's happening with my pillow. It's so successful at getting people to sleep that it, I think, is dangerous. Anyway, the point is, if you want to go to sleep, Mike Lindell, the inventor of this dangerous, powerful thing called MyPillow, has a special offer for you, Eric Metaxas Show listeners. He's now offering you a buy one, get one free. Right now, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, it would be the perfect time. Call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or you go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric or Eric Metaxas. But remember, these are powerful. You need to respect them, okay? MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or Metaxas. Check it out.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Mockingbird, now everybody has heard you. He's gonna buy me a mockingbird.
there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I just like listening to Carly and James, but I also like talking to my friend Marcus Speaker. Marcus, we're talking about a lot of different things. We were just talking about when Jesus was born. In other words, that moment in history. You bring a perspective, and that's what you're going to write about in your book on Jesus, which you haven't begun writing yet. But it is something that I think we're always tempted to think of Jesus and things in the Bible as having happened in mythical pre-time, but they didn't. I mean, when you think about Ovid and Seneca, you just mentioned all of these figures, they're very, very modern figures. It's amazing. I mean, it's not like talking about Tutankhamun or even Moses. I mean, these are very modern figures with cynicism and Machiavellian thinking, obviously predating Machiavelli by 15 centuries. But it's just – it's fascinating to me that Jesus was born in the middle of this.
For example, atheism is much older than Christianity. So a lot of atheists believe they're kind of modern and they just figured out that stuff a few hundred years ago. And 70 AD or BC or 60 BC, you have this book by Lucretius about – he was like the number one atheist of his time about why the world came into place without gods and we don't need gods. And a couple of years later, you had Cicero. You spell it – pronounce it Cicero?
No, we say Cicero.
Cicero.
But we're wrong.
He was staging like a debate on the – on the gods. Do gods exist was kind of – he had this roundtable discussion by an atheist and by an old school scholar and by a Stoic about the question, do gods exist? And after a lengthy debate, he came to the conclusion, well, there is more reasons for the existence of gods than not. So all the stuff, we're doing it today. They did it 2,000 years ago, just before Jesus happened. So I think the difference to all these other religious leaders is that God chose to reveal himself in the middle of the world, but also in the limelight. So he was not hiding out at a place that nobody knew about, but you had so much writing going on. You had the books of Josephus about what's happening in Jewish times. All the Roman historians wrote about it. So we know more about this time than any other time except for the last 500 years.
Well, I can't wait till your book comes out. You better hurry up and write it. You live, of course, in New Delhi now, but you're going to be moving back to Germany with your new wife, your first wife, your sweet wife, Tabitha. And you know far more about Europe than I do because you've not only lived there, but you have reported on the Merkel government. I mean, many Germans know your face from German TV reporting in Berlin on politics.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you see happening now in Europe? My sense, and we talked about this a bit last night, that what happened with Trump's election in the United States, what happened with Brexit, what is happening a little bit in Hungary and Austria, these nationalistic movements are coming up because the people have finally awakened to the fact that the elites do not care about them the way they thought, that the elites are not doing their job. So the people are sort of rising up and saying, hey, we need to look out for ourselves. You don't have our best interests at heart. This is a general trend. And it seems with Merkel's recent, the news that she's not going to be around very much longer. What is I'm saying sound accurate to you, or what are your thoughts?
First of all, Europe is suffering a big identity crisis. If you go back, the 19th century was the European century because you had all these European powers taking over the world. The 20th century was the American century. The 21st century is going to be the Asian century. And Germany and all of Europe is feeling like kind of left behind. We're not the pinnacle of progress anymore. So that's one source of confusion. The other thing is what you just mentioned, but that's happening in all of the West, that there is a difference in the interests of the elites and the normal and the poor people. Now, we have a very problematic tradition of national populism. In the 20th century, it certainly didn't work well for us. Stuff happening in Italy, Spain, and most of all in Germany. So Hitler,
But it's different, Marcus. In other words, today, the nationalism that we're talking about today, the reason it's different from the nationalism of the 20th century is that the nationalism of the 20th century was a chest-beating nationalism. The Germans are the greatest in the world. Now, nationalism is simply an assertion of sovereignty, an assertion against the bureaucracy of the EU, the unnamed bureaucrats. It's a very different kind of thing. In other words, the nationalism in Greece is just to say, hey, we want to be Greek. We don't want to be EU subjects. We want to govern ourselves. We don't want the people in Brussels or Berlin telling us how to live. That's a very different kind. It's almost like a defensive nationalistic posture.
Yeah, but you know, you mentioned the Greeks and the same thing you have in Italy. You know, there is a problem. On the one hand, people want to reap the benefits that the EU is offering. On the other hand, they don't want to be dominated. So, like I said, it's a big identity crisis.
Correct.
Everybody knows in this day and age, with all these challenges, you need cooperation. The problem is with this comes institutions, comes bureaucracy, comes a new elite that's not caring about the simple people. And now I think we're in the process of changing that. And
but Marcus, it's not just this. It's that George Washington, okay, when our 13 colonies became one country, okay, George Washington and others made the case of why we are one. And in the course of the revolution, we bled as one against the tyranny of England. This unites people and it gives you a common narrative. If you don't have that, which the European states do not have, unless you have a leader who can articulate why we are one, why we ought to be all in this together, unless you sell the people on that, it can't happen. That leader never emerged. And so you cannot force Greece to pretend that it's in bed with Germany and they're, you know, they're working together.
We just had this occasion of Trump coming to France 100 years, you know, all the suffering in World War One. Of course, we're looking back and saying generally the EU has worked well because we have prosperity. We have security. We don't have wars. And in Germany and all of Europe for 400 years, we had all this bloodshed before.
Now, wait a minute. This to me, you're making a leap. Maybe the EU worked well for Germany, maybe for France. But the idea that the EU has worked so well, I don't see this. France and Italy and Greece. Why are they involved in the EU?
No. I mean, we're friends, Eric, so I hate to
That's why you can disagree with me, because we're friends.
The way Germans look at the Greeks and at the Italians is that they also benefited financially by going into a lot of debt and taking all the advantages. But they don't want to pay the dues in the same way they should.
Here's the point. The fact that the Germans feel this way and that the Greeks feel the opposite tells you you can never create a political entity with people so culturally different. Unless you can bridge this gap in advance and convince them that they're the same, they're pan-Europeans, you have no business linking them economically and politically.
No, but the problem is nobody was forced to enter the EU. Even the Eastern countries, they wanted to become members because at the beginning there's a lot of subsidies coming into your country. You can, you know, build roads. You get like billions of dollars of help. So they wanted that. And now when the paycheck comes, they're like, we don't want that. And now we have to cut back.
But to be the devil's advocate, I would argue that it wasn't the Greek people. It was the Greek bureaucrats, the Greek politicians who are in fact corrupt, which is yet another reason why the EU never should have included these countries, because these countries weren't self-determining. Nope. They had elites that are making these decisions, and now the elites are not on the hook for these billions of dollars of debt. It's the people that are on the hook.
But my point is that we have to differentiate. On the one hand, Europe certainly needs a way of doing foreign policy together, because it's ridiculous if you know, every country has their own army, and they still do it. But I think in the long run, we as Europe have to be united.
What about NATO?
It's kind of, you know, the way things are moving at the moment, I think in the long run, we will need to have a European army or something like that.
Well, this is what Merkel said the other day, and it's pretty sad that it had to be the head of Germany to say this, if you know what I mean.
I know.
It's too bad that she said it. But I also find it funny because I think most Americans would say, yes, Europe should have its own army. What the heck are we doing over there all these centuries,
exactly.
Decades? Okay, we're going to be right back. Little Johnny Cash and a lot of Marcus Speaker on the Eric Metaxas Show.
Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roam from town to...
Financial markets cannot handle rising rates. As interest rates rise, stocks and bonds will come down. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. Everything that's happening right now, I predicted. In a webinar seen by thousands, it's why the book became a national bestseller. Watch it and learn why stocks are set to collapse and why gold is going to soar to over $10,000 per ounce. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send it to you right now for free. That's right, directly to your phone, no questions asked. Just massive value. Text the word winter to 49776. That's the word winter to 49776. I'll immediately send you the presentation right now. Text winter to 49776. If you're an investor, you got to see this. Once you do, you'll want to change. And from there, we at Advantage Gold hope to earn your business. Text winter to 49776.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
Folks, that's Leo Sayer. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm sitting here with Marcus Speaker in the radio studio here in New York City. Marcus, we're just talking about so many things. It's such a big conversation. I want to go sideways a little bit. You had said that the 19th century was the European century, 20th century was the American century, 21st century is the Asian century. I guess I can sort of see what you mean by that, but at the same time, I'm going to give you a little pushback in the sense that are you suggesting that that the American experiment goes wobbly? In other words, if America kind of goes into a period of stasis, I think that would be sad for the whole world, because I don't see Asia holding up the torch of liberty and religious liberty and all these kinds of things. Are you, having lived in Asia, what makes you say that you think that Asia will be that the 21st century will be the Asian century? And again, you're not the first to say it, but I want to hear your thinking.
Well, I'm not saying that everything good in the 21st century will come out of Asia. And certainly when it comes to culture, philosophy, the West is still, I think, leading in a lot of ways. Yeah. But when you ask about where's the hub of energy, you know, then it would be Asia, because not only 2/3 of the world population live there, but there is such a hunger, such an ambition, that they will make the greatest leaps. The market there alone, by, you know, all the goods they have to consume, makes it such a such a happening continent, but they are not a united force. It's not like America or even Europe in the 19th century wasn't all that united. So Asia, the difference between China and India, for example, they don't see eye to eye on anything. So India feels much closer to America and would like to be much more an ally of America than of China. So I'm not saying that Asia is a continent that will dominate the world as a united force, but this is just where the action is. Also, when it comes to religion, like even Christianity, most Christians are already living in Africa and Asia. Europe is history in a lot of ways. You're not, you know, Christianity will be not happening in Europe in the way it will in Asia. So I'm just saying this is where exciting things will occur.
Although I guess you would say all of this would be, if you look at it pragmatically and you look at the trends, that's probably correct. But this is all not allowing for what we Christians would call a move of God, because there's something fascinating to me in thinking that God, who's outside of history but who enters history, that he does things that you cannot anticipate. I mean,
who says that China, for example, is not going to become more Christian?
Well, I guess that's the point, because to me, when you talk about progress, speaking as a Christian, has to come from the only real engine in the history of the world, which is the God of history working through his people. And so when I think about, I mean, the story of Luther unleashed the gospel into the world and created the modern world. In other words, all the liberties that we have, American exceptionalism, religious liberty, all of these ideas come out of the gospel. And so in a sense, it's like you were saying in the previous show that God works his way through history, and Christianity works its way through history, so that before 1500, you don't have religious liberty. But because Christianity is what it is, eventually the truth will out and it begins to happen. And over the centuries, more and more and more, you see these things. So the question is, will this continue or does it stop? But I think if it stops, it dies.
Well, on the one hand, it will continue. I don't know if there's some dark ages ahead. Nobody was, 100 years ago knew that the Holocaust would happen. So you don't know all the bad things that are going to happen. But we tend to forget in the West that Christianity is not a Western religion. 1,000 years ago, half of the world's Christian population was already living in Asia and south of Europe. So it's just coming full circle. And Christianity is going back to where it started, which was in Asia.
Well, I guess the reason I'm not entirely convinced, I'm not really going to argue with you, but I'm saying that it's complicated because, for example, in China, obviously North Korea, their power, their political power is threatened by Christian faith. There's just no doubt about it. Whereas I would say that Christian faith, I mean, it's just like when Tocqueville wrote about America, he said, you know, in France, the church and Christianity are at odds with the state, with the power of the state. But in America, they seem to bolster each other. In other words, the state seems to get stronger and the culture seems to get stronger and more rich and more wonderful because of robust Christianity, which I think is the history of America, that the reason we've prospered economically and in all kinds of other ways is because the freedom of the gospel has been unleashed.
But in the last 50 years, we started to forget about it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So that's the question. Will we return to those things, or will those things find a way to progress in places like China? Will the Chinese state be able to make peace with this? Will be able to harness the gospel, or...
Well, all history is challenges and responses. So maybe the new challenge of Asia will help Christians in the West to find new responses.
Okay, we're going to go to a break here. Talking to Marcus Speaker on the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, metaxastalk.com. Hey, Albin, isn't
yes.
it time that we heard about what Janice has to say about Relief
sure.
Factor? We're sponsors of Relief Factor on this program. It works for me. I talk about it all the time, but let's hear from somebody else. Here's Janice.
I was skeptical at first.
But because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
I love stories like
this. That's great.
Well, look, I've talked to so many people who've had this experience. I told you that I've had this experience. ReliefFactor.com is the website for $19.95. By the way, the reason it's so popular is very cheap. You take this stuff. It's all botanicals. Within 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you. Sometimes in 3 days, you'll know, or in a day. But I'm saying give it 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Hey there, it's Eric Metaxas for Policy Genius. Here's an unfun fact. Over half of bankruptcies and mortgage foreclosures are caused by medical issues. That's because if you get sick or injured over the course of your career, your employer's sick leave often only covers you for up to 3 months. And while health insurance helps with medical bills, it doesn't replace lost income. That is where disability insurance comes in. It's essentially income insurance. It protects your paycheck if you're sidelined by an illness or injury. Policy Genius does all the shopping for you. They compare quotes from the top disability insurance companies to find the best price. Then their licensed experts manage the application process to save you time and hassle. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. So if you rely on your income to get by, compare disability insurance quotes with PolicyGenius.com. We'll help you protect your paycheck at a price that makes sense. You can get started online right now. Policy Genius. The easy way to compare and buy disability insurance.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Marcus, you just asked if that's a Christian song. Yes and no. It's kind of it's got some irony there. I think it was trying to – there were some songs that came out. Maybe it's like when the Doobie Brothers did Jesus Is Just All Right With Me, that they were sort of trying to groove on that, you know, maybe trying to make some money off of the trend circa 1973 that Jesus was cool or something. But I don't know. Okay, so we're talking about history, trends. And I was just saying that, and here I am speaking as a proud American, but I think, you know, what I say in my book, If You Can Keep It, is that the beauty of American exceptionalism is that at the heart of it is the idea that we want to share this freedom with the whole world. We want the whole world to become as America is, religiously free, economically booming because we have, you know, small government. We don't have – in other words, these are things that can bless people, but you cannot impose them on people. People have to adopt this freely.
Now, I have to tell you one thing, even though I'm a huge fan of America.
I know
America,
that.
The American experience has been transformational for me. But when you go around South Asia and talk to people, what you think of Americans? Most of the time, they love them as persons. But when you talk about American organizations, American government, the one thing you keep hearing is, well, they're like cool, but they come in with their concepts. They don't really listen.
What kind of American organizations?
Whatever, like NGOs even. There is the idea that Americans, because they already know what is good and what has worked, they don't really listen on the ground.
That's called arrogance, I think. That's tough stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you incorporate the views of – I mean, how do you bless people without being condescending? How do you pass on the DNA of your ideas without, you know –
I think that's human nature. If something has worked out well for you, you tend to become arrogant, thinking you have it all figured out. And I think that's why history is so important, that God is blessing us with, you know, drawbacks and with experiences that bring us down again. So maybe these times are an opportunity for us also as a church to learn afresh, you know, that we haven't it figured out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's good. I think I want to ask you a little bit about Germany. What do you think is happening in Germany? In other words, when I saw Merkel say to a million plus Muslims, come on in, I thought this was kind of a ham-fisted atonement for the evils of the Third Reich, to say that we must make this right. We must do this dramatic gesture. But it was not taking into account the average German who wasn't born in the time of the Third Reich. And it really was culturally very, very destructive.
No, I think Angela Merkel, who has a lot of great talents, but one thing she is lacking sometimes is to have a vision for things. So she was just choosing the path of least resistance. She was doing at the time what she thought the media and the intellectual elites would love. And I think she also was naive. We were talking about the Iraq war and stuff, and I think the same thing happened to Germany. She was not, and her people counseling her were not prepared for what was happening.
That, but isn't this because they don't have a governing philosophy?
Sure. It's also the philosophy that diversity per se is great.
But,
what I'm
saying.
That it doesn't make any difference if you bring in people who are not educated and Muslim, same thing as you have educated Christians. And the arrogant belief in the academic world that you can educate everybody to the level of your thinking. And that was just BS. And I think they had to find out about it. And now the result is that all the governing parties are losing tremendously. The government is weak. There is constant conflict. So I think they have paid a lot of, you know, they paid dearly for their decisions 2015.
Well, I should hope so. I mean, that's the free market of ideas. And when you have a free, I'm glad that they can pay dearly. In other words, if the system is truly rigged, they wouldn't pay. I'm glad that the people of Germany still have a voice and can say this was a bad idea. Where do you think it's going, though? In other words, are there people in Germany who are, it would be described as anti-immigration? Of course, they're not anti-immigration, but they're foolish immigration. Are those voices being heard? I mean, and I don't mean extreme rightists who are Nazis, but I mean people who understand that Germany will be culturally destroyed unless somebody pays attention.
No, I mean, for the first time in the last 70 years, we have a right-wing party that is not explicitly Nazis. So it's called the Alternative for Germany. And you have some like reasonable people, but you also have some crackpots. You have also some people defending Hitler. So nobody really knows what comes out of it, if it's for the good. And the good thing about it is that it forces the establishment parties to really see the frustration that is out there. I hope in the long run it will help for like good discussions. But you know, there's also this fear that 100 years ago we made really bad experiences with national populism that it may go in this direction, even though we're – I don't think it's going to happen to Europe because – most of all, we are a very old continent. So the mean age, the average age of Germans is like 46. The average age in India is 29. The average age in Afghanistan is 19. So we've become so old that we are in an age where you don't have revolutions anymore.
That's funny. That's really smart on your part. I guess, you know, unless those right-wing parties kick the fringe elements away, as they must do, as the way William F. Buckley, when he launched the conservative movement in America, kicked the John Birch people and others of that ilk out. He said, we will not have this here. So you can become a major party. But I think that, you know, most people in Germany and most people in Europe, they're longing for a return to common sense. And let's not forget that the opposite of nationalism turning in the direction of tribalistic Nazism can also be evil, and that you can have a vast bureaucracy that is just as crushing and soulless as the Nazis were. We just haven't seen it recently, so we forget. Okay, we're going to go to another break. We've got a final segment with Marcus Speaker. Our website is MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back.
Right up to the time. So that you take a life like mine. Ooh, it's anger with my mind.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447, 800-519-0447, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show, and you know, Marcus Speaker is my guest. Marcus, I got to tell you, those were the Ray Conniff Singers. It's the original of that was not as cool as the Ray Conniff Singers.
I love the original, though.
No, the original is wonderful, but this one, there was just a little. Anyway, never mind. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. What do you and the Germans make of Donald Trump? Because you do not have Fox News giving you the other side of the story. So I imagine that you just hear that he's a a caveman and a monster. I know he's just a caveman.
Well, most Germans already hated Ronald Reagan. So I remember in the 80s, when he came to power in 1980, you know, in school, they were like, yeah, there's this cowboy. So, of course, Donald Trump even trumps that. So naturally, they're very uncomfortable with it. So he's got a very bad press. But also, you got some articles about people now coming out, journalists saying, well, there's a couple of things he's doing right. Economy is doing well in America, so it can't be all that bad. But there's this deep-seated suspicion of Germans to see somebody like this in power that is going to abuse it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but see, what the thing that we have in America, most Americans don't realize this, and it's very upsetting to me. We have a system of checks and balances here, not just in the government, but in the whole culture. And so you have to understand that he's only the president of the United States. He's not a dictator. He's not Putin. So when people say he behaves like Putin, you know, that's like saying he combs his hair like Putin. It's utterly irrelevant. He does not have the power of Putin. If he tried, he would be crushed. People like me, who are his advocates, would be the first screaming from the rooftops. He must be stopped. In other words, it's only people's ignorance that allows them to think of him as some authoritarian figure. No, you can say F Trump all day long and the cops will protect you. They won't kill you.
It's the human condition. You always have a problem. You see the signal and you see the noise and not the signal. So they are just looking at it, reading his tweets.
But why wouldn't they see? Why don't they see this in Hillary Clinton? In other words, if you really want to talk about tough, corrupt, deeply cynical power brokers, this is Hillary Clinton. This is, to me, a threat to democracy far more than Donald Trump ever could be. But the media, because she is on the same side as they are on the issue of killing the unborn or on the issue of same-sex marriage, they refuse to do their job to criticize her. They refuse to do the job to criticize Obama. Why? Because he was the first black president? That's not really a good reason. You have to do your job no matter what color he is. Otherwise, you are, in fact, a racist.
I would say most German journalists watch CNN, read the New York Times, and that's what they base their opinions on.
Well, CNN and the New York Times, we can end our conversation with this. As biased as they've always been, under Trump, they've taken a very dramatic lurch to the left, and they are 24/7 hating on Trump. In other words, the coverage is laughable. Every day I read the New York Times and they could make any story, you know, if a dog bites someone on the street, they figure out a way to say it was Trump's rhetoric that brought it about and stuff. So we're living in very strange times. But anyway, I'm glad Europe doesn't get to vote in our elections. And so I don't have to worry so much what you all think. But you know how much I love you. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to be on my program, my dear friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.